RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are dishing all our tips for finding the perfect campground and booking the perfect campsite. It is trip planning season, and if you want the magic to happen, better make those reservations now. We even have a fun giveaway to make your planning a little easier.
But we won't forget about RV shopping, because many of our listeners are right in the thick of it. On this episode, you will also hear a great interview with Jim Waters, the marketing coordinator for Lance Campers. He will share some information about the 50-year-old company and talk about the newest, lightest Lance truck camper release for 2016.
You might think that you have oodles of time to plan those summer vacations, but we know that the best campsites are selling like hotcakes. You are listening to episode number 74, Booking the Perfect Campground.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, booking the perfect campground, it's time for our news roundup, and I think this is an exciting one.
Sure, they're all exciting. Come on.
No, they're not all exciting because they don't all have big giveaways.
Right. It is more exciting because we're giving away free stuff and we love to do
giveaways. Used to be the bread and butter of this podcast, and people used to just listen for the giveaways, and we haven't done as many lately.
Well, now we kind of do a thing where we center them around
our gear guides.
The gear guides. So we've kind of shifted to that and like pairing them with the gear guides because we put all of that stuff on the gear guides, you know? I mean, get a lot.
But we lured these people into this podcast by offering them free stuff, and then we just stopped.
You think every week they're just like, are they going
to do a giveaway? So we'll get to the big giveaway in a minute, but we have two things to round up before that. We have started an Amazon store. So we are going to be putting all of the gear that we recommend into our own Amazon store. Now, Stephanie, how can you find that store?
It's just a tab on our website. So if you go to rvfamilytravelatlas.com, you will see across the top, in addition to our blog, our like about us page, our contact us, our forum, you'll also see RVFTA store. Now, we finally, I know like everybody in the world has done this before us. We really didn't do it. It was just like, oh, we have our guides and we link to it. But we have gotten so many emails, email after email. What was that thing that you recommended?
So it's a great way to put everything in one place.
That's what we're doing.
And we can make a little scratch from it.
Yeah, exactly. So we hadn't even mentioned that it was there. We just figured we'd put it there. And if anybody stumbled across it, we hadn't advertised it at all. Well, then we got a note on Instagram from Steve and Brandy. And they, if you remember our special episode from the
Florida RV Super Show, dear.
Right. They were on that special episode.
And they are the co-hosts of a podcast called The Sailing Road.
Yeah.
Road, R-O-D-E.
Mm-hmm. And they came and they met us at the RV show, and they were super sweet, and we really had a nice time talking to them. And then that was their first RV show, so we interviewed them. But anyway, they messaged us on Instagram just a couple days ago and said, hey, just wanted to let you know, we needed a new cover. We actually get RV.
They get an boat cover.
They get an RV cover, though, for their boat.
Right.
Which is super funny to me.
Well, you're just covering something at the end of the day.
Right. So they got it through our Amazon link. They said, we just wanted you to know we went on and we went through yours, so the beers are on us, which was so nice.
And the whole time I'm thinking, well, it's not going to be beers.
Yeah.
But we took the boys out for tacos.
Right, tacos. That's more of our life.
So fish tacos on you guys.
So that's
really appreciate that love there.
Right. So that was nice of them because it's just, they knew, they, you know, if they have a podcast, they know that it's like pennies here, pennies there. But they thought of us and they thought, well, we have to buy this cover anyway. Let's go and do it through their Amazon affiliate. And it has all of our stuff that we recommend there. You can go there, you can shop through it, you can see it, easily get it into your Amazon account. So if you want to use it, it's awesome.
It's there. So we also have free shipping from Spreadshirt.com for our apparel. So what apparel can you buy there and how does that whole thing work?
Right. So we have t-shirts and we have long sleeve shirts that we've done in the past for our rallies, but it has our logo on it, RV Family Travel Atlas. But then also we have my favorite item, which is my distressed hoodie. I'm wearing
She's
it.
Wearing it right now.
It's just gonna
it
be.
It looks so distressed.
Yeah, it is gonna be one of those things that I wear forever because it really is the perfect weight. I love this
now,
article.
Our super fans wear this stuff to like RV shows and then they take pictures and put them up on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, tell the
so
story.
So a shout out to Zach Morris for wearing his RVFTA t-shirt to the RV show and snapping some photos, hashtagging us, putting it on Instagram. Made me happy all day, Zach.
Yeah, and we also have listeners that we've actually met. They came to our two rallies already. They're out from Long Island. They're a lovely family. We have the funniest story. They went to an RV show while we were down at the Florida RV Super Show. They went to an RV show in New Jersey.
They wore their RVFTA t-shirts. Of course they did.
They wore their RVFTA t-shirts. And as they were walking around, somebody came up to them and said, "Aren't you guys supposed to be in Tampa?"
They thought they were us. Now, Stephanie always says we need to like brand our faces a little more because people like don't know what we look like.
Well, we don't want
And apparently
anybody.
People really don't know what we look like.
They said, "Aren't you supposed to be in Tampa?" So they I think they emailed us that, right? They emailed us
If
that.
You're listening and you're the person who saw this nice couple with the t-shirts and said, "Aren't you supposed to be in Tampa?" Email us and let us know. I want to know who you were because you're adorable.
Yeah, that was the funniest
All of
story.
You are adorable.
So anyway, there are those t-shirts. You can get them there, but it's free shipping right now. All you have to do is enter the code 2LOVE. Number 2, and then L-O-V-E, and you get free shipping, and you can get this distressed hoodie, which I love.
Makes a good Valentine's Day gift. The big news is the giveaway. Mm-hmm. So, and it ties into this week's episode so perfectly, and that's why I'm really excited about it. So, our friends at Good Sam have agreed to give away 5 copies of the Good Sam RV Travel and Savings Guide. Now, this episode is all about booking the perfect campground. This is one of the essential items we think you need to have to do your research. And guess what? Guess who has an article in it?
Who?
We do.
Oh, yeah.
We have 2 articles in it.
We do have 2
So we'll
articles.
Be giving away 5 copies of this. Now, how can our listeners win these free copies? And let me say this. If you go to like Barnes & Noble, these cost like $22. Mm-hmm. If you're a Good Sam member, you can go to Camping World and get them for like $8.
Or you can get them for free from us.
Or you can get them for free for us.
Right.
So guys, make a decision.
So Good Sam was kind enough to give us a couple of copies to give away.
Five is more than a couple,
right,
dear.
I shouldn't say a couple. 5. Okay, and this is what we're going to do with them. First of all, we are going to do 1 copy on Instagram. We know we love our followers over on Instagram. They're an enthusiastic bunch. So we're giving one away over there. All you have to do is
tag a friend that might like to follow RV Family Travel Atlas. Somebody you know who's interested in RVing, interested in camping, will put up a photo and will say, "Hey, this is the photo to win the copy of the Good Sam book." And maybe the Good Sam book will be in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And just tag a friend. And that's all you have to do. And you will be entered.
Yeah. And then we're going to give away 1 copy for a Campground of the Week review. Because we know y'all are listening.
Oh, we know you're listening, but you all ain't reviewing.
Well, we're not begging for reviews.
Yes,
on
we are.
Campground of the Week. No, over on Campground of the Week. We don't
Yeah, we've just decided we don't want to talk about that over there. This is like the more chatty show. That's like the more professional show. It's like the two sides of our personality here.
We streamlined it. We're like, this show is just a campground review. There's nothing else. We have the intro, the outro, and a campground review.
Yeah, we try to keep banter to a minimum.
Yes, exactly.
The campground is the star.
Yeah. So we don't ask for them, and we haven't gotten a lot, but we know you're listening, so all we ask is that you go in, you hit that Campground of the Week, you write review, and then you email us and tell us that you wrote the review, but tell us what your iTunes handle is, because sometimes people say we wrote you a review and your iTunes like account is something weird and we don't know who it was.
Right. So and it should really probably be a 4 to 5 star review.
Yeah.
Preferably.
If you want to win. I mean, if you don't want any shady business.
Yeah, it's
to
a random contest, but if you want to win.
It might have to be a good review.
Now, we want to celebrate our new forum by giving away the other 3 copies to people that have signed up for the forum and introduced themselves under roll call. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of you have done that already. So if you have done that already, you're in.
Right.
Okay, you're in it for one of the Good Sam Travel Guides.
We're going to reward you for good forum behavior.
You need to sign up and you need to say hello under roll call and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and I have this kind of trailer, and I have 4 dogs and 2 cats, and whatever you have. Right. Just tell us about it. Where do you like to camp?
Right. And you can see there's tons of people that have already introduced themselves there. You don't have to say, like, I'm introducing myself because I want to win the Good Sam catalog. Like, just introduce yourself.
You could.
You could if you want to. Everybody will say, hey, you know. And then you'll be in our forum. And we really have appreciated our listeners who have contributed to the RVFTA community over there. And we want to reward them with this giveaway.
The thing has a life of its own. There are people talking about doing camping meetups there in states that are not our own.
Which is exactly
which is
what
awesome,
we want.
You know, like, people are connected over the forum and just sharing a lot of really good information. A lot of smart people on the forum. We've said this from the beginning. Smart people listen to our podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be true. Yeah. We seem to attract that kind of like smart crowd.
Yeah. You know, it didn't make it into our news roundup this week, but can I just mention real quick before we go out that Bruno from Belgium emailed us this week?
Bruno from Belgium did email us this week. He loves to listen to our podcast while he does his daily
10K
run.
Jeez.
And he loves it when we chatter on.
He loves our chattering.
He likes when we chatter while he's running.
Which is what we're doing right now,
Bruno, God bless you.
We love our American listeners, but for some reason, there's just a little something special when we get these emails from our international listeners.
Now, you said
listeners.
You weren't going to mention that on the news forum, and you did.
I just did.
The ancient Greeks call that apophasis.
No, I really didn't have it, but because we were chattering on, I thought I have to mention
We were chattering on, and Bruno's running right now somewhere. Running.
And I feel like I'm supporting his health and physical fitness. So, you know, kudos to
Bruno, I want to run with you. Yeah, at least Bruno. The first K of that.
Run on.
And it's been a while since we got an international email, just to be honest with you. All right, we will be back in a second with episode 74, Booking the Perfect Campground.
Award-winning Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories.
Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds.
And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home.
Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone park near you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our featured topic, booking the perfect campground. But we have a few disclaimers first. The first one is that the title of this show is fundamentally a lie, because there are no perfect campgrounds. And on a campground of the week, we have a whole section that we dedicate to that called Nobody's Perfect. Mm-hmm. But it just sounded good and we just want to roll with it. Now, you have sort of a second disclaimer, something else you wanted to add or more clarification before we get into the content.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a phrase that's bandied about a lot, if you look on forums, if you look on TripAdvisor, right, or if you're just talking with people around the campfire, people say, what's the best campground to stay at if you're going to blank? And I believe so strongly in my heart of hearts that there is no correct answer to that question.
Well, so do a lot of the cranks on a lot of the forums, because if you ask that question on some of the forums, you're going to get whiplash. People are going to come at you with a knife. They're going to be like, well, do you want public or private? Do you want hookups or no hookups? You want water or woods? People are going to get angry that you ask the question. On our forum, they won't.
No, and we don't get angry that that phrase is used either. But what we do is we develop a podcast.
We do a podcast about it. On certain forums, there's like a knife fight over it.
Yeah. No, what we want to do is we want to walk through the reasons why one man's trash is another man's treasure and vice versa, right? We do believe that when you are looking at an area, there are going to be better campgrounds. There's going to be, I would say, the cream rising to the top.
And that's really important to say. I really do believe that there are better choices and worse choices.
Right. But the problem is if you are the type of person, and this podcast is made for a person who may just look at the best scored, rated, or reviewed campgrounds and book that campground. You cannot do that because that is why people say, oh, this campground is so highly reviewed, but we hated it. And then they list the reasons why they hate it. Or that is why you have, you know, your different reviews that don't coincide with each other. We firmly believe that the process of booking a campground has to be done with such a self-awareness of what you're looking for. And that is what this episode is about. It's helping you understand what you're looking
for. We want to get you to that zen-like state of self-awareness.
Yeah.
So the first part of this feature topic, we're going to divide this in two, is going to be how to pick the perfect campground or pick the perfect campground for you. Then we'll take a break and come back and zone in on how to get the perfect campsite, the individual site for you or the best one for you.
Right.
So let's walk through some of the resources we use and how we use them. Okay. And of course, our listeners are going to also have some things. So send us an email, drop us a note, let us know what you use, and maybe we can talk about it on next week's show.
And just before we go in any further, I do want to say, like, hindsight is 2020 for us on this. We have had these experiences over the years that have really honed our, you know, understanding of this topic. And I want to bring up the Great Smokies for this.
Regrets.
No, we don't.
We've had a few.
But we don't have any regrets with Great Smokies. We were lucky because in the Smokies, there are many well-reviewed campgrounds.
And we stayed at three campgrounds.
That we love.
Right. But I'm saying we stayed at a bunch of them. A lot of people are going to stay at one.
But there was an example of a campground like the Pigeon Forge KOA, right?
This is true.
Highly reviewed campground. People love it there. People return year after year. And in fact, it's a family-owned campground, I think going back a couple generations.
Yeah, and it's right in the thick of things. It is right in the thick of things.
Right. If you want that Pigeon Forge.
You
want to
be close to Dollywood, you want to be close to Gatlinburg, close to all the fun, all the crazy, all the zany. It's there.
This was on our short list, that campground. It was on our short list.
But then certain people say there and complain and say, there's road noise.
Right.
Well, okay, you're right in the thick of it.
We went back and forth. Anyway, we did not end up staying there. We chose a sleepier campground instead for that stage of our trip. We wanted a water feature. We got one. Now, we drove by that campground, and I have to say, I looked at it and I thought, oh my gosh, it is right on the road.
It's right by the road.
People love it. It would have been a nightmare for us. I'm serious. I wouldn't have been happy there. So,
right. Or depending on the spot you have, you know, you need to be tucked away.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at some of the resources we use. And some of this is based on a seminar that we gave at an RV show last year, a couple seminars that we gave.
And a few articles that we've written. We've really done a lot on this topic. And that is why we finally decided we have to do this.
Yeah. And I'm Mr. Hyperfixated, obsessive about getting all this stuff right and spending a lot of time on it. Let's start with the Good Sam Travel Guide because we're giving five of them away. We have two articles in it, and we've used it for years.
Yes.
I buy this every year. I'm not just saying this because we have articles in it. I'm not saying this because we're giving them away. I'm saying this because I buy like two copies every year for the last 6 years. Like I literally buy a copy for upstairs and a copy for downstairs.
Yeah.
Stephanie's getting flustered.
I do. I get upset when there's more than
one. If you have the Good Sam membership, it's like $6. Now this thing's like a phone book and this is old media. This is a print resource. It goes state by state. It has listings for virtually every campground in the country. It's not every campground, but it's close. And it has a ranking system. Now, what do we look for in the rankings here? How do we interpret the rankings? What are we looking for before we might consider booking a site when we use this as a reference?
10, 10, 10.
At the front of the book, there's a section of all the, there's three ratings. One for cleanliness, one for facilities, and one for appeal. At the front of the book, they list all of the campgrounds in the country with perfect scores. And there might just be like 100 of them or so.
Yeah, there's not a lot. But we will look to see them is in the area that we're going.
And we have stayed at two campgrounds that received 10, 10, 10, and they were both awesome.
Yeah, and one of them we happened to be having our second rally at.
Our second rally at because it was
amazing.
It was an amazing campground. Everyone loved it. No one there did not like it.
Right.
So Lake and Wood in Norvon, PA, where we're having our second rally this year. And you know, when I say 10-10-10, maybe it didn't get it this year and it got it last year. Sometimes they bounce in and out, which also shows you it's for real because they are basing it on recent, you know, analyses. Is that the
now,
right word?
Yeah. So we will also look at nines.
We certainly also, when we see scores of nine, we will also definitely consider the campground and maybe an eight.
Like in combination with tens. Like that's the funny thing. It's like I'll be like, oh, it has an eight and then a 10 and a 10.
10, 9, 8. Or, I'll look at it.
Right. Like it has to have some sort of combination
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, 8, 8,
8. 8, 8, 8. No, I'm out.
I'm probably not
Peace
going
out.
There. 8, 9, 9. I'll think about it depending on the area. But if there's a 10 there and there's like an 8 and a 9, yeah, we'll do that. We'll look at that campground.
Now, another thing is to consider that one of those numbers is the restroom score, right? Like, you know, like those kinds of things. So if you're not, if you're very self-contained in your RV, like if you don't have to worry about that, then discard that, but think about the other things.
That's a good point. I mean, there are a lot of really good campgrounds out there that don't have the cleanest bathrooms.
Yeah.
Right. When we go out with Girl Camper sometimes and camp with her, she'll always be commenting on the bathrooms because she's in her little vintage trailer without hot water on demand.
No hot water on demand.
And I want all the Girl Campers to have hot water on demand.
After you listen that, to last
I want that to
episode.
Be my legacy in life is that I give all the Girl Campers hot water on demand.
Yeah.
But she's always saying, oh, the restrooms there weren't so great. And I was like, oh, I didn't notice because I didn't go in them because I have an RV with a bathroom. Right. So that's a good point.
When we had our pop-up, I always use the restrooms.
Yeah. This really is fun. Also filled with great maps. It's filled with terrific articles by really smart
content
producers. And it's just, I don't know, I like to flip through it. I can while away a winter's evening flipping through here looking at the scores. And then we sort of cross-reference those scores with some other places. Like,
yes.
I never book based on one set of scores.
Well, they're in one resource. Book based on one resource. Oftentimes, we start with those scores.
It is a good starting point, yeah.
And then we move on to our other resources.
This, for me, is a starting point because it has the KOAs in it, the Jellystones in it, the Good Sams in it. It's covering all the campgrounds. Now, for a state park, it'll just have a super brief listing, and I don't think it even scores them.
Yeah.
But at least you'll know it's there, and then you can go from there from that point.
Yeah.
Now, after using this as a starting point, I might then zone in on the KOA catalog. And I love getting the KOA catalog. It's a lot of fun. We have loved camping at KOA over the years. It's been a real positive experience for us. They also have great maps in there. They have recipes and stuff like that. And they do have an award system for their campgrounds. So KOA gives out a lot of awards, but the two main ones are called the President's Award and the Founders Award. The President's Award is not as hard to get, so a lot of campgrounds have the President's Award, to be honest. The Founders Award is much harder to get. We look at campgrounds that have both. We really do like to pick a KOA that has both because we are almost never disappointed. We almost always think they're awesome campgrounds.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to say that some of our listeners right now might be like, all this stuff that they're talking about can be found on apps or online. And that is true in a way. The Good Sam, you know, online system, you can search for all the campgrounds. The KOA has their app too, and we'll talk about that a little while later. But we really do value this old media. And that might just sound curmudgeonly, like, but we actually think that you can, by flipping through pages, you see
serendipity.
Things that you may miss otherwise. And also, each of these sections usually begins with a map. And we sort of position ourselves in the area that we're going. And that tends to be very spatial for me. I'm a spatial
person.
She's
a map person. I think it's about finding the campground you weren't looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're using an online tool, it is more about putting in the campground you want and getting information back. Where here, it's like you're literally flipping through page after page. And then, you know, something might jump out at you that you never would have searched for.
Yeah.
We also use the Jellystone catalog. And both the KOA and the Jellystone catalogs, the complete catalogs are available for free online, or you can email the company and order them. I think the Jellystone is free in the mail.
Yes, it is. Yes.
KOA is free with your value card, or it's maybe $5 if you don't have a value card. But you should have a value card.
And So I really like all three of those print forms because they help me visualize where we're going and the options that are there.
And Jellystone has an award system as well that they give to their own campgrounds. They have these four different icons for these four different categories or levels of service. We look for jellystones that have three or four of those icons. Let's go ahead.
A while ago, I think we addressed this on the podcast. We had somebody say something like, all of the places you stay are amazing. Like almost in a little bit of a snarky way. And we turned right back around and said, we do our research.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Hours.
Yeah. When we are going to a place, we do not go to a place that we think may be okay. We're giving
this long list of sources tonight. And some people are thinking, I use all of them. Mm-hmm. I don't just look at one or two of them.
Yeah.
The better your research, the happier you're going to be. Okay. The better chance of booking the perfect trip.
That's picking and booking. You just
it's a combination. What a save.
You did. Well, you did. That's what you did.
Stephanie saves
mind.
Me all the time.
Booking.
Let's move into the wild, woolly world of online research. I look at TripAdvisor and I look at Yelp, but we have, I think, a couple key points to make about those two things. When looking at TripAdvisor or Yelp, I think you're going to notice, even for a really highly rated campground, the occasional really bad, really negative review. And we think that you have to learn how to read those and what they mean, like interpret them a little. And the one thing I will say, a lot of times those super negative reviews are from tent campers who end up in a more RV-centric park, or from cabin renters who are just new to the whole experience of a campground. It's not like there's a lot of real RVers going on writing reviews on TripAdvisor. They tend to move to the more RV-centric review sites, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Right. Now, also, I think that it is important to know sort of the hot spots that show up in some of these negative reviews. Why? Because they may or may not be important to you. So the negative reviews need to be read with an eye towards, do I care about this particular topic? For example, there are many, many reviewers complain about rules at a campground.
There's too many rules.
Or that they were told to be quiet after 11. Or they were told not to put their trash in their fire ring. Or they were told, right, these rules. Well, you know what? For some people, that may cramp their style. For us, it doesn't. We're, early to bed, early to rise, not by choice.
We like to think that there's somebody with a watchful eye over the campground because we have little kids there. We're not there to party and drink ever at a campground.
Yeah. At our rally in the fall, they had to come around on a golf cart and say, it's quiet time. And we all sheepishly.
And quiet time was at 10 and it was like 10:01.
We like sheepishly slunk off because we're all rule followers.
At our Lake and Wood rally, though, this past fall, it was like 5 minutes to quiet time, and somebody said, guess it's time to,
wrap it up.
And then it went from being noisy and boisterous and fun, and, everyone packed up and went to bed within, 2 minutes.
Yeah, because they were all like, okay, it's quiet time. And you know what? It's time for bed. So if that doesn't bother you, then don't listen to that negative review. Now, another hot spot is Wi-Fi, okay? People will complain about good or, bad Wi-Fi at a campground.
Somebody will give a one-star review to an otherwise amazing campground for Wi-Fi. Now you just got to decide if that matters to you or not.
If you need your Wi-Fi, then that matters, that negative review, and that's a good review for you to read. But if you want to unplug, don't worry about that review.
Right. Some people will complain and say there were golf carts buzzing around. Mm-hmm. That might not bother you. You might have your own golf cart.
Right. You might be like, good,
or
I want
you
to
might
buzz
say,
around.
I don't like the golf. So people will often give the negative review for that one thing that sticks in their craw.
Yeah.
You've got to decide if that's something that sticks in your craw.
Right. That's the next topic on the Cranky RVer.
Things that are stuck in my craw. 10 things that are stuck in my craw in the Cranky RV.
Those golf carts.
Starting to like this podcast better than men and their rigs. So that's TripAdvisor and Yelp. And I do think that I make a valid point when I say the real RV people tend to move to some other places. Okay. One of those places is RV Park Reviews, which I think is a really excellent source. The reviews are very balanced, they're thoughtful, and they're usually from experienced RVers.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're outdated, and sometimes there's not a lot of them, but I find it to be a very good source for campground reviews.
Right. They're very measured. There's no emotionalism, right? People are like, well, this was okay, but this wasn't. The campsite had a little scruff and, needed to be updated a little bit, but there was a picnic table.
I agree with you 100%, and I think that's because these are people that have been to hundreds of campgrounds.
Yeah.
So they just don't get too worked up about any one thing.
Right.
Now, also, I bought the Allstays app.
Yes.
Which was how much?
$9.99. The Allstays app is $9.99. People love the Allstays app that really like to search for campgrounds online. Like, we are old media people, so yeah, we go to catalogs first, but we know so many people go to apps or online first, and this is the number one pick.
It probably
for most
is.
People.
So if you're not a catalog person and you don't want these old school resources, I would pay the $10 for the Allstays app. It has a lot of information packed into it, and then it links to a lot of reviews online.
And you can filter by any specifications you want. So you can filter by hookups, by, you know, everything. So it's a good app.
Now, a lot of the heavy-duty RVers are also gravitating towards a new site called Campendium. Mm-hmm. And even our Utah correspondent, Brett, loves it. And I think he's written some reviews for them. So Campendium's a great site. It's attractive. It's easy to navigate. But what was our one issue with Campendium? And it's just partly because it's new.
It's new. It'll grow and it'll get more and more useful as more people participate. So if you want to participate, go on and leave a campground review. But the thing about Campendium is that because it's crowdsourced, there's a lot of holes.
There's a lot more in the West, and I don't know if that's because the company was founded in the West, but it's caught on there a lot more. Right. I think that over time, eventually, this will be a really great and really useful site. So it may be useful, it may not be. We also like Campground Views.
Right.
And so they're at campgroundviews.com, and they have a YouTube channel. They have over 2,000 videos, and they're just usually like 1 to 2 minute videos that do what they say. They're just, they're campground views.
Yeah,
it just shows you what the campground looks like.
A review of the campground.
It's just more like, here's what it looks like. But that's valuable.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can read 100 reviews. If you can't picture the campground, you can't picture the campground.
Right. This will tell you, do I want to be at this type of campground? Do I want to be at a campground that looks like this?
And let's face it, there are lots of campgrounds out there that don't have good pictures of their campground on their website, which is like a sin, campground owners. It's
serious
not, come
site.
On, it's not expensive to get 20 great photos of your campground up.
You know, hire someone.
KOA is good at that, but you know, not every organization is good at that. Not every mom and pop is good at that.
It's important.
Crowdsource the photos. You know, get people to share it. Use a hashtag for your campground. You can get the photos for free if you ask permission. Yeah. Ask permission. You like to just do a good old-fashioned Google search for campgrounds in any given area to give you a nice visual.
I don't like to sound boring here, but I want to keep it real. When we're going to a new area, oftentimes I'm geographically ignorant of that area. Even though I'm a fourth grade teacher, third grade teacher, 10 years, like I've got a lot of geography under my belt. Sometimes I just don't understand where things are located.
In relation to the ocean or the mountains or a city or a town.
Or a city or the popular attractions. So what I love is if you Google is just really helpful for this in the maps part. If you Google like campgrounds in the Great Smoky Mountains, it'll then give you a map with all those little pins. And then I just get an idea. It gives me a feeling for the area. It gives me a feeling for what's available, and then we go into all of our campground research. But I just need to know, like, what does this area look like? Where are things located? And helps me. And yes, it's Captain Obvious, but we're, you know, okay with that sometimes, because sometimes it's the little things that people forget.
We also really do recommend you utilize online forums, and you can ask specific questions about specific campgrounds. Now, you do run a risk. People can be cranky. I said it before, I'll say it again. You just might ask and say, hey, has anyone ever stayed at this campground? Is it nice?
Search the threads.
You'll get the, search the old threads. We were talked about that 10 years ago, whatever. Okay. Now, we recommend coming on our forum, but go on to forums. And sometimes, you know, like, honestly, for me, when I've narrowed it down to 2 or 3 campgrounds, I'll often go on to a forum and say, hey, I'm thinking of these 3. They're all private parks with roughly the same price and facilities. Which one do you think's better?
Yes.
It's a great way to get some specific information.
Ask a specific question and you will get feedback from people who are in the know.
I do use the KOA app. Mm-hmm. I prefer the catalog, personally. That's just me. I'm an English teacher.
I've never even opened the KOA app.
I do use the KOA app.
I don't even know
it's
what
great.
It, looks like.
It works nicely.
Don't have it on my phone.
Everything's there, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's there. There's something called KOA Trip Planner as well, which I can never find through their website anymore. But if you Google KOA Trip Planner, that comes up. And if you're going from Maine to South Carolina, it'll show you all the KOAs on the route. That's, of course, only if you're exclusively traveling with KOA. It's not Good Sam Parks are not going to pop up. Jellystones are not going to pop up.
Right.
There's a similar Good Sam Trip Planner.
Yes. And a lot of our listeners,
I believe, Carrie Cox likes to use it.
She likes it. We've heard other people say they love this. That you go in and you set your route, and this trip planner shows you different places along the way. It also gives you recommendations for driving. I really think that this is a tool that people who love to have every step of the way planned out, they love this tool. So check it out if you haven't. It's the Good Sam Trip Planner, because people love this who use it.
What's your big takeaway about booking the perfect site or booking the perfect site for your family? What's the biggest lesson out of all of this that we can learn so our listeners get the best campgrounds and pick the places that are most well suited for them?
Okay. Know thyself.
My big takeaway, and I don't think I'm in disagreement with you, is also to be flexible. Because for me, it's about the location. It's about going to Acadia or going to Great Smoky Mountains or going to Traverse City. And, you know, if you just get locked into this mindset where you have to be an elite, you have to stay at like an elite resort campground everywhere you go, not every location's going to have that. In some locations, the best campground might be a state park for $20 a night that doesn't have sewer.
Oh, you are absolutely 100% correct. I agree. We are flexible campers. We love the campground that is the best for that area.
We lean private campgrounds because we want full hookups and we want the kids to have certain amenities. Mm-hmm. But if like we look at a certain region, like when we stayed in Midcoast Maine, man, Camden Hills State Park can't be beat.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm not looking at a private mm-hmm. campground when Camden Hills State Park is there and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful and it's $30 a night. I don't care if I don't have sewer.
All right. So these are, you know, this is what we do. We meticulously research a campground before booking, but then our job isn't done once we pick the campground that we're going to stay at. And we're going to come back in a minute and we're going to talk about what we do
to pick the perfect site. And we'll start out with a caveat about how there are no perfect sites.
Actually,
you know what? I have to say,
there are
no perfect campgrounds. I think there are perfect sites, and I think we've stayed on a few of them.
All right. We'll come back in a minute.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. If you thought your work was done because you've chosen a campground, you're so wrong. Your work has just begun.
Yeah.
You have to get a good site.
Right, because some people might go, oh, I picked this campground, and they might just go onto that online tool, and just make the reservation and be done with it.
Number one, RVFTA tip of all time, don't book online. I have a philosophy that they put you in the worst site when you book online. Call. When they hear your voice, all of a sudden you're a human being. You're somebody with a mortgage and children and a life. And all of a sudden they care about you and they want you to be by the water. They want you to have a view. Yeah. Don't book online. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The entire camping industry is trying to psychologically trick you into booking online. Don't do it. Now let's start out with an anecdote. All right. Now let me say this. There are amazing campgrounds that have crappy sites. And there are crappy campgrounds that have amazing sites. And we have the perfect story to illustrate this point. And that's going to show us how important it is to really do your work here to get a good site. Okay. Tell us the story.
So on our very first season with our pop-up, where we were going on our epic trip all the way up to Acadia.
16-day, four-stop trip, Vermont, Midcoast Maine, Acadia.
With our two-year-olds, okay?
There was no Wesley.
It was epic for us. And we booked, our very first stop was booked at the Brattleboro KOA in Vermont.
I booked the site in January for July.
Yeah, very early. And this is a popular campground. It gets great reviews. We had done our due diligence, you know, but it's a tiny campground. So anyway, we drove, and again, this is early on in our travels. We are unseasoned. We drove 6 hours.
5 to 6.
Okay. We got there, and it was late in the day, and I had been in the car for 6 hours with two-year-olds, and my nerves were shot.
Well, they were crying for the last 2 hours.
They were not good road warriors at that point. We have trained them.
I don't even think it's fair to judge them at age
two. No,
yeah.
It's not. Like, it was tough for them. It was a long drive. We pull into this campground, we check in, and it's supposed to be this great campground. It's got great reviews. It's won the awards. We drive around to our campsite. The campsite is directly on this playground, this sandy playground.
And I asked, because I didn't book online, dear listener.
I know
you're thinking,
didn't.
Oh, he booked online. He didn't book online.
No.
I said, put me near the playground.
Yeah. We were on it, okay? There were kids everywhere, and the campsite was literally a pie slice.
A slice of pie.
It looked like it came to this corner.
Not a generous slice of pie, like the slice of pie you get from your spouse when she wants you to lose 10 pounds.
Right.
That
your diet,
kind of slice
your,
of pie.
Your Weight Watcher slice. And it just came out a little bit, right? The hookups for the RV next
the
to us.
The honking 40-foot Class A.
Oh, my God. They were on our site.
Oh, the boys were like playing site. Around the hookups.
And they were like leaking. It was like the hookups were right there on this pie slice of a site.
And the guy had left out chemicals. He had left out some spray bottle of chemicals.
He was cleaning like his awning or something.
Yeah.
And his spray bottle of chemicals was on our picnic table. Why? Because the sites were so close you couldn't even tell the
like
difference.
It was like showing up at a hotel and being escorted to the bathroom and being told that was your room.
I did not even have the wherewithal.
You cried.
I did. We got out of the car. I felt like we had gotten here. We had arrived. We had made it. And I got out of the car and I was like, I can't do this. I was like tearing
and
up.
And the most frustrating part was the campground looked beautiful. It looked great.
Yeah. We left.
We left. KOA has a policy. Within, I think, 1 or 2 hours, if you're unsatisfied with anything, you go get your money back.
Yeah. So we did.
I went and got my money back. I knew that policy.
Yeah. We left, which was, this whole thing was very extreme, but I think it was also, it's important for us to go back and remember these moments that we were not seasoned RVers.
But I have to add a little piece here. We did not go get the money back first.
No.
We drove to a campground up the road. Asked if they had
a site.
Found out they had a site. Came back and then we canceled because it was like 4th of July weekend or something. We needed to know that we had a site.
Yeah.
So we went to a kind of a crappy campground up the road called Hidden Acres. And I honestly think it was that crappy, but it's not like an award-winning campground.
No, it's like a big open field with a bunch of RVs, but they had this site.
An amazing site.
Oh my gosh. It was tucked away in the woods. There was all these open field RV sites. There was this one crazy big,
and you had to
amazing
back up a hill
site.
And then hang a left into this site.
Oh.
Huge, gigantic, beautiful.
It was gorgeous. It might have been one of the most beautiful sites that we've ever stayed at. We had this like little tucked away piece of heaven. We had our pop-up set up. It was heavenly. So this is just the point. We left a well-reviewed, popular campground that we returned to later on with a better site and loved every minute of.
We did go back to that campground.
Yes.
I said, give me a bigger site. I didn't say bigger. I said, can I have one of your larger
we
sites?
We got an outer loop.
Outer rim. Outer rim was the secret
loop.
There because the sites get bigger as you move out away from the playground.
We had a great site. It was backed
loved
up against
it. I'd go back
field.
To that camp. I'd go back to the Brattleboro KOA any day.
Owners were lovely. But the site we had was terrible. It was awful. It was the worst site I've ever had in our entire RVing experience. That happened. The other site was one of the best. You need to ask yourself, what do I like in a campsite? And then you need to do your due diligence both online on online maps, looking at the campground maps, and on the phone with a reservationist to make sure that you get a site that fits your liking.
Some of our listeners are saying, boy, it's a lot of work to get the perfect site and the perfect campground. But guess what? It's winter.
Yeah.
What else do you have to do?
Invest the time.
So one of the first questions you need to really ask is what hookups do you need? Mm-hmm. Do you have flexibility there? Do you have to have full hookups? Are you willing to be on a site with just water and electric? And sometimes within a campground, there can be a bit of a trade-off game going on.
Most of the time. Oftentimes, full hookup. Pull-throughs, okay, for big rigs. That's just one of those things that happens, okay? So oftentimes those sites with full hookups are not necessarily the most private sites, or they're also not the waterfront sites.
Yeah, a lot of the times campgrounds will have sites that are either tucked further away in the woods or very close to the water that don't offer full hookups because maybe they just can't run the sewer that close to the water.
Oh, yeah. Code.
Or maybe they just don't want to run it that far out into the woods.
Yeah.
So some campgrounds really have the full hookup sites sort of in the center around the store and near the full hookups. So sometimes to get the prettiest site, you do need to forgo full hookups. Are you willing to make that trade?
Well, we are. And we've also, we do it quite often. But then we also have a little trick.
Oh, this is a good takeaway from this episode.
Honey wagon.
Not everyone knows what a honey wagon is. There's some listener out there who doesn't know. It's a euphemism.
So honey wagon comes around and pumps you out, okay? So you when you don't have your full hookup, when you don't have your sewer, you have to fill your tanks, right?
Pumps out your black tank.
It pumps out your black tank. So then the honey wagon will come around and you schedule it and it'll come and it'll pump out your black tank. So yeah, you can use your bathroom again.
And you usually, if not 99% of the time, you pay a fee to get honey wagon service.
But, okay, full hookups are more expensive. So if you take the water and electric site, that's a better site in terms of being more private or more beautiful. And then you pay the honey wagon fee. Oftentimes it's a wash.
When we stayed at the Cape Hatteras KOA, full hookup sites were not available, but water and electric sites were available. They were less. I literally scratched out the calculation on a piece of paper, figuring out, okay, if I get honey wagon service every 3 days, what does that add up to? Stephanie's exactly right. The same price.
Yeah. So get the better site and schedule. Say, I'm going to get the honey wagon every 2 days. And I'm not going to worry about my kids using the bathroom. I'm not going to scream at them like, no, don't.
Don't assume honey wagon's free either.
No, call.
Very rarely is it free.
Again, call and see the
Why
price.
Would anyone do that for free? Oh, right? I mean, you got to charge money for
I'm
that.
I'm not doing it. All right. Absolutely. What's next?
Okay, well, you talked about pull-throughs or back-ins. I mean, forget the whole hookup situation. Do you want a pull-through or do you want a back-in? Some campgrounds are going to have full hookups on both. Now, a pull-through is easier. Mm-hmm. It's more convenient. It's less stressful. And they can be big.
Oh, and they can be beautiful. But sometimes the pull-through sites are the middle of the campground, big open field, nothing else
Most
going on.
Most of the time. They are less private, and it's kind of like the RVs are stacked up in a row.
Yeah.
I often want a pull-through site, and Stephanie often wants back-in. And for me, after driving 5 or 6 or 7 hours, I really like to eliminate that one stress point of having to back-in. And I'm good at backing in at this point, but still, it's more work.
No, I'm good at backing you in.
All right, fine. It's not a team effort. And particularly if we're going to show up late, the kids want to get out, whatever, you know, whatever. Just to pull through that convenience is so nice, but you're not always getting the prettiest sight.
No.
In fact, most of the time, we don't think you're getting the prettiest sight. So if you really care about getting the prettiest sight, take that back in that's more private, more surrounded by woods. And that's every campground's different. But
if you reserve a pull through, don't like think, I can't believe how open this is. Like,
I've got an RV right next to me.
There's an RV right next to me. This is ridiculous.
Meanwhile, we just complained about how we had the RV right next to us. It's a matter of how close next to you.
Yeah.
But the point is, it might not be 3 feet away from you, but you're going to be looking at someone else's rig in a pull through.
All right, hookups. Pull through or back in, what else?
Do you want to be close to the playground or do you want to be away from the playground? If you've got little kids, you probably want to be close to the playground. If you're not traveling with kids, you probably don't. I wasn't traveling with the boys, I wouldn't want to be by the playground.
Absolutely not, of course. And the same goes for a pool. Like, you need to look at that campground map and think, if I don't want to walk like a super long way to the pool, because I've got my little kids that'll be dragging their towels and complaining and moping and griping. Like, yeah, put me near the pool. But if you like the walk, you don't want to hear the noise of the pool.
And if you're not going to go in the pool.
Yeah.
Now, same thing. Bathhouses. Do you not have a bathroom in your RV and you are going to rely on the bathhouses? You don't want to have to walk across the campground. You want to be close to the bathhouses. Mm-hmm. If you have a bathroom in your RV, put me far away from the bathhouse.
Right.
Now, here's the secret here. Whether it's the bathroom, the pool,
the playground,
or the playground, ask to be close, but not too close.
Yeah.
Those are the magic words that every campground owner and every campground manager understands.
Yeah.
You don't want to have the site right smack next to the playground with all the millions of kids running through your site, particularly if you're the cranky RVer.
Yeah. Get off my my site.
But even if you're not the cranky RVer, I'm not a cranky RVer. If a kid runs through my site, I don't care. But I still don't want to be in that highly trafficked site right next to the playground. Nor do I want to be overlooking the chain link fence of the pool.
No.
And I really don't want to be right next to the bathroom. So ask for close, but not that close. We stayed at Holly Shores Campground in Cape May. Great campground. Love it. But we got one of the last sites available right smack next to the bathroom. That did not go well.
Yeah, we were like an addition to the bathroom. Like, we were like an add-on. Like, all night long, that door slamming, slamming, slamming. It was fireman's weekend, hot wing, like,
hot extravaganza. Hot wings, drinking beer, firemen, in and out of the bathroom all night, flushing toilets.
And bam, 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 we heard it. It was terrible.
Some woman walked over to our water hookup and was trying to get water to come out, wash her hands.
Oh, through the bushes. Remember, she came through the bushes.
Like, we like just like trying to, like, wash her hands using our hose, which was hooked up. So it didn't really go that well for her.
We thought it was like wildlife. No.
You don't want to be stuck next to the bathhouse. Okay. Always ask if your site is near road noise. I have made this mistake myself. In fact, I've made it recently where I just don't think about whether a campground's going to have road noise. A lot of more RV-centric campgrounds are going to be close to busy roads. That doesn't mean the campground's no good, because there might be a quieter section of the campground and a louder section. Always ask about road noise. Now, this one is very important to you. Is there traffic near your site within the campground? Are you on a busy road in the campground? A lot of campgrounds have roads that are busier. Loop roads that are busier than others.
Many
Why?
Many campgrounds have an entry road and an exit road, and all the other loops feed into those roads, right? Like, everybody comes in on this one and everybody leaves on the back one, and then all the other loops feed in. So you do not want to be on an entry road or an exit road. You want to be on one of the quieter loops where only the people who are camping on that loop are going to be.
And
we have made this mistake.
We've made this mistake. Where did we make the mistake? There were great campgrounds.
Atlantic Oaks is one of our favorite all-time campgrounds on Cape Cod. We love it.
Going
we are
back
returning
to it.
We picked the wrong campsite where we were on the exit road. So every single car leaving the campground went by our campsite.
So there were 12 roads that cut through with one-way traffic, and then everyone had to come back around and back down the one road that we were on. It wasn't crazy amounts of traffic, but we were on the busiest road in the campground.
Yeah, and we won't make that mistake again. And it's just all those experiences have led to this podcast. Like, this is authentic experience here. Like, we know when we've made a mistake in booking either the campground or the campsite. So,
dear listener, we've made these mistakes.
So you don't have to.
For you.
We give.
Next question. You need to ask, do you want shade or sun?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you have to ask that question. If you want a really shady site and you don't ask for it, you might end up in the middle of
you're going to get a
pull
through
site.
In the middle of a field, and you're going to be like, oh, it was so hot. Yeah. And so,
some people, I know that we have listeners out there who are saying, oh, I'm not going to call the campground and ask all these questions. Okay, well, I'm sorry if your personality is like, you don't like to like badger people with questions.
We don't mind.
But we don't, you know,
Brett goes
it matters.
On Google Maps and he puts in the campground. Brett Nielsen, our correspondent over on Campground of the Week. He then turns it over to Satellite View and he'll go over the campground to see the sites he can't see.
That's a good way to see
trees.
If you're close to a road, too. Mm-hmm. If you're close to it. So that's a really good tip right there. Okay. Now, this was very important to us when the boys were younger. Do you want a site that's near the water or away from the water? When the boys were really little, I always wanted to get a streamside site or a waterfront site, and you always said, no, I'll be nervous the whole time that one of the boys will end up in the water.
Yeah, because Mama Gertie's down in Asheville, it was like, oh, the whole time, it was the most gorgeous site ever, overlooking a beautiful
brook.
It was
like a
brook,
big drop-off like, into the brook as well.
The whole time. I was like, don't slip on the rocks, don't slip on the rocks. It was awful, and I thought that they were going to like fall out of the pop-up into the water.
So if the kids are too little and they're not swimming yet and you're worried about their safety, you don't want a streamside site.
But
don't
now,
be sad, parents with young kids, because we have a lot of podcast listeners who have young kids. Your time will come for the streamside site. So now it's like, if there's a stream or a river or water, like, we want to be on it. I mean, we love
awesome.
That.
It's awesome, and it's so much fun. So just wait it out, and then you can have fun, and you won't be stressed.
Okay, my last tip is don't book online.
No, ever. Never. Don't. Just don't do it. Or just, like, book a site real quick and then call and change it.
All right, well, look, that was our segment on picking the perfect campsite. We're going to come back in a second with Jim Waters. He's the marketing coordinator for Lance Campers, and he's going to have a great conversation with Stephanie about some of their newest and lightest Lance truck campers for those of you who are out there shopping. And man, do we love truck campers.
I love a truck camper. I want a truck camper. If I had the money right now, I'd go out and I'd buy my girl camper and I'd buy a truck camper. 100%.
Great for the girl campers. I promise you. Great for a rental.
Yep.
First of all, thank you for having me on, Stephanie.
Absolutely.
It was very nice to meet you, and we're happy to get you in a truck camper.
Yes, I know, and it feels like it suits me for some odd reason. So, tell us a little bit about the company first. What is Lance Campers? What do they make? What do we need to know?
Well, Lance Camper was started in the early 60s. We got our stock building, guess what? Truck campers. We've been in business for over 50 years. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary last year, which is very exciting. Anyone who's able to figure out something and do it for that long, we're very proud of it. We built specifically truck campers until the late 2000s when we debuted our lightweight trailer line, which as much as we love our truck campers, and they really are still the heart and soul of our company, our lightweight trailer business has skyrocketed, and especially here at Louisville, it's something we really like to show off. Not that we don't focus on our great truck campers anymore, but
you
we love
to say truck camper 100 times in an interview, right?
Oh,
if
yeah.
You're from Lance.
Exactly.
But the ultralights have become a really important part of your company also over
Very
the last
so.
Few years.
They debuted in 2009. And it has just been an overwhelmingly positive response. We took what we learned over the 50 years of building truck campers, which is building it lightweight and building it at a quality that can sit around and bounce on the back of your truck when you're going through tough roads. We took all of that knowledge that made those lightweight and transferred it into the trailers. And we think that it's the quality that really attracted a lot of people. A lot of the brand owner awareness that we had with truck campers transferred over swimmingly, and we're very excited about it.
Okay, so you think even within the people that knew about your campers and truck campers, they started moving towards the lightweights also?
Oh, very much so. Because
why do you think that shift has taken place in the industry?
A lot of it, I think, is a move towards a greener, more minimalistic perspective in the general population. I don't think. That whereas for a long time Americans or the RV industry was focused on big, mm-hmm. big, mm-hmm. and I think it's kind of transferring the other way now, where people want to kind of use the minimum that they can while still being very comfortable and being able to not just enjoy the RV, but enjoy what they're out there supposed to be doing, out there enjoying this great country of ours.
It's so true. We want a balance between that luxury and also our footprint, our eco-friendly stuff, right?
Exactly.
We want everything. We're Americans.
and you get it in a Lance.
Okay. All right. Good. Now, I was telling you a little bit about our audience and what they're interested in, and I was asking you to share some of your new products that you felt would be of interest to them, and you pulled me into a truck camp and you started to talk to me about it, and you were absolutely on point. It is of interest, and for a reason that I wouldn't have initially thought. So tell our audience the model, and then give them some information about it, and then we'll talk about why it's of such high interest to entry-level customers.
Now, I'm one of the younger members of the Lance staff, mm-hmm. and I didn't know anything about truck campers when I first started. I grew up doing travel trailers, pop-up travel trailers for a long time, and the truck campers really excite me. I think it's, as far as versatility, one of the coolest things that you can do, that you can have to get the RV lifestyle done. Now, that being said, most of our truck campers were very large. So now this year, we really wanted to focus on building a legitimate half-ton truck camper, which became the Lance 650. It is a 6'10" floor plan that is your living space, not including the overhead. Total length is 15'6", but it's under 2,000 pounds. It can fit on your F-150, your 1500 truck, which is, as I think most of us know, those are the number one trucks out there on the road.
Right, because they're the kick-around trucks. Like, that's what we have. We don't need a heavy-duty truck for anything that we do in real life. Mm. You know, we're not contractors. So that's what we have. That's what a lot of people have. And usually you're saying the truck camper would be out of reach for those people.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of the time a truck camper is 10, 11 feet and 2 to 3,000 to 3,500 pounds, where you would need a larger truck, a 3/4 ton, a 1 ton. And that's because it all fits in the bed of the truck, and we want to maximize the amount of space, but we didn't want to alienate the half-ton trucks at the same time. So that's where we really put our nose to the grindstone and designed the 650 that became what we hope. It's brand new, but we hope that it will really take off and kind of bring the truck camping lifestyle into those demographics that otherwise might not see that as attainable.
Okay, so the same person that is looking at what other options when they're searching out for their first RV or their next RV, what other things are they looking at that you think they should also consider that truck camper as an option?
The truck camper is a great option because you don't necessarily cut yourself off of any other options. With a truck camper, you can still tow your boat. You can still tow a box with your dirt bikes or your quads or your side-by-side. And one of the great things is, I mean, once you get good at it, it'll take you 5 or 10 minutes to take it off the truck. You can have a base camp. Base camp's a great word to mm-hmm. that I think exemplifies truck camping. Mm-hmm. You can take it off the truck. It's super easy. And then you still have something to go around in. You can still go drop your boat in the lake, and you can still come back to an area that is just like what your travel trailer would be off the truck.
Right. So you don't have to have a tow vehicle like you would with some of the other, you know, Class Cs or Class As. You'd have to have a tow vehicle if you wanted to just go kick around
exactly.
where you're at.
Your rig is your tow vehicle.
Okay. Now, it also sounds like you're saying you can haul your toys even though you have the camper. So then it looks like you're headed into that toy hauler market, too.
It's a toy hauler. It's a Class C.
Right.
It's a trailer. It's all in one.
Okay. And then also, for size-wise, you can compare it. I felt like you can compare it to a lot of your smaller trailers or hybrids or pop-ups because it had the wet bath. That is a feature that has to be there, right, for the lighter weight truck camper?
Very much so, because when you cut that floor space down, the 650 will fit on a 5.5-foot bed, which is a tough thing to do because you cut down so much of that length mm-hmm. that can hang, because you don't want to hang too far off the back of the bed. So the overall floor length is 6'10", which sits in the bed of your truck. Now, when you go all the way up to 11 feet on a larger truck, that's when we can separate the shower and separate the toilet. But
those fancy things.
Exactly. back to that minimalist perspective that we're really trying to get done.
Right. And that reminded me also of the Class B, right? A lot of the Class B models, you have that wet bath mm-hmm. option, too, to keep it smaller.
It's a huge space saver, and it's mm-hmm. a huge weight saver while still having those same amenities.
Okay. So I think that for a lot of people that wouldn't consider a truck camper as something that would fit their lifestyle, you're saying that if you're looking to get a smaller, minimalist, very flexible, very lightweight RV option mm-hmm. that can go on your half-ton truck, and you can also tow your toys behind it, and then have a vehicle to kick around once you get there, you should look at a truck camper.
And you're not and in a Lance, you're not giving anything up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still have every amenity and every quality perspective item that you would have in your trailer.
Well, they're very comfortable too. I have to say that's what happened when I first walked in. I was very surprised. I kind of thought when I first walked into a truck camper that I was going to be like climbing into a bed, right? Almost like a tent. Like I felt like it would be a
tent. When you're in them, you don't even know you're in the back of a truck.
No, I can't. Every time I step in, I'm still surprised. We're in one right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel cramped. I mean, we don't know each other that well, and mm-hmm. I don't feel cramped. I feel like you've really brought in a lot of the comforts that you would find in any travel trailer out there in terms of the kitchen. Even the counter space in some of your bigger models really mimic the counter space that you have in the ultralight travel trailers also. So,
you know, when you've been doing for something for 50 years, you really figure out where to put stuff so that it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to make my husband's head spin when we send off all the other kids, you know, the three kids and everything, and we're figuring out what we're going to do. I'm going to seriously look at him and say, what about a truck camper? He's going to fall on the floor. He's not going to know what to do with himself.
Well, tell him to give me a call at that point.
We will call you, Jim. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I really appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing all the new things that Lance has in the future.
Hey, thank you for letting me spend the time with you.
Thank you so much for joining us for episode 74 of RV Family Travel Atlas, Booking the Perfect Campground. Don't forget, we're giving away 5 copies of the Good Sam RV Travel and Savings Guide. I'm not going to go back through all the rules for how you win. Just rewind the podcast. Oh, we'll put it in the show notes. Enter to win. Thanks again. Join us next week.
Bye.